Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
1101. Welcome into 6-8 of the Fan. Take you up to 2 o'clock today. NFL football all weekend long. It might not be AFC-NFC championship game, but the matchups are pretty damn good. With the possibility of a game showing up in Atlanta if two teams take care of their business. I screwed the Hall of Famer over, by the way. Oh, there he is. Hey! I screwed him. I forgot to tell him about a road closure. That is my bad. Chipper Jones is going to be with us today. Nick is out. At, what did we say yesterday? Family business, I believe. I don't believe there's a lawyer involved. I don't think he became brave enough and made that phone call. I just think he's out today doing family business. And from what I could tell, it's not a problem. Like, it's not a problem, which is always good. It's always nice to be able to say out loud, I think it's good. He's not here, but I think it's good. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you. Thanks for telling me that the normal way to get in here is not the normal way in here anymore.
No, there. How many people did you see? I don't even know what they're building over there. I don't even know. I heard it's like offices, and you might even know. What is it?
I got no idea.
You got no idea.
Usually I come in from the east, on the east side of the ballpark and straight down to the, to the parking lot here, but I had to circle all the way around.
I'm sure.
They were a little slow at Chick-fil-A off Ridgewalk this morning, part of it's my fault.
Is that out of the norm?
It's out of the norm, yeah. Normally they have, a couple people in each line, taking your orders, 10 cars back, and it wasn't that way this morning.
I will say, though, consistently the best.
Yeah, 100%.
Consistently the best.
I'll give them a pass this morning.
Now, let me ask you something. So you roll down the window. How many, double takes, triple takes do you get these days?
I get quite a few. Yeah. I ran into a Dodger fan yesterday at a Chick-fil-A, and he was a pleasant man. Normally, when I go up to a Chick-fil-A, they go, "Can I get a name for the order?" And I say, "CJ." So, as to not bring any attention to myself. And I made my order, and the guy goes, "Yes, sir, Mr. Chipper." And he said he grew up a Dodger fan, but grew up, once he moved here, grew up.
Well, you have that in common.
Yeah.
You were a Dodger fan. 100%.
And I told him, I go, I hate him now, but, whatever.
For a number of reasons.
Yes.
So let me ask you something. We got a lot of things to get to today. Do you remember back in 96 or 97 when we did the Ask Chipper? I bring you the questions that kids asked. This thing was a hit.
Oh, yeah?
Do you remember when I bring you the list of questions and you just would record answers and we put them together and it sounded like you and a kid were in the same room and we ran these every day. Well, do you remember doing those?
I remember doing them. I don't remember, listening to them that often and seeing the kind of response it got on the radio.
Well, it was big. These kids got a big kick out of it. We would tell these kids, "Hey, by the way, this is your week. I don't know what day, but whatever." What I remember every bit as much was Jeff Blauser walking by dropping F-bombs. Mark Lemke walking by dropping farts just to make sure that you had to do take two or take three.
Yeah, they were a constant thorn in my side. Mm-hmm. I think they were kind of in charge of keeping my head on the clouds, my feet on the ground, out of the clouds and my feet on the ground. And they did a really good job, and they usually waited until the cameras were on or somebody pressed record to really kind of give me the business.
Can you explain? Hey, we have the Mark Lemke sound. Can you explain what their corner in the old building?
Yeah.
They were in a corner, and I remember Jeff Blauser had a stuffed animal, a guy. who basically had a, you know, it was fishing, but I think he had his penis out. And it was just like, why did he do it? So nobody could could come from TV and record anything in his locker. It was sort of genius in that regard.
Yeah. Well, if you don't want attention from the media, just plant a real vulgar sign or, you know, have a stuffed animal with his penis out.
Right.
You know, I mean, that will pretty much do it. But that was just, that was the dirtiest corner.
No doubt.
In Atlanta.
No doubt.
Because you got Lemke was, you know, half the time had his fake teeth out.
Yep.
You know, Blauser, who, you know, would walk around with a toothbrush sticking out of his crack. You know, Charlie O'Brien, who nobody wanted to mess with anyway.
Well, by the way, he had pictures of things that he and his brother shot.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were real animals.
Yep. It was the Wall of Fame. Had deer, bear, all kinds of stuff, you know, hanging out.
Scare the hell out of
him. Yep.
And he had a bow and arrow in there for a little bit. Like, he had his... And I was like, I don't even know if that's legal.
He's the one who actually got me started into bow hunting. Yeah. Yeah. So
Did you ever go with him?
Oh, yeah.
Because I heard him and his brother are a little bit...
Woo-hoo. Oh, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, they're crazy. I won't go any further. But then on the other side of them, you got Greg Maddux, who, you know, been well documented as the grossest human being on the planet, and then myself. So we had a couple of Cali boys, a couple of rednecks, and the dirtiest man on the planet.
Did somebody once go through the air vent or, you know, the drop ceiling?
Yeah, that was Blauser. Actually, I think it might have been Lemmer.
Yeah,
I think it was Lemmer.
Might have been Lemmer.
Yeah, he got up in the ceiling above the styrofoam tiles.
Right.
I don't even know how.
Who knows?
How it held him, but... they used to always mess with Jimmy Williams. and Jimmy would be back there and kind of in our corner, and Lever would get lodged up in the ceiling. He'd be like, Jimmy, start on Jimmy. And Jimmy Williams started looking all around the clubhouse and couldn't find Lever. He knew it was Lever. He just couldn't find Lever.
Up in the ceiling.
Come to find out he was up in the ceiling.
I mentioned this about Jimmy Williams before, who I really liked. But Jimmy Williams might have been the most paranoid man I've ever met. Because when he was in Houston in spring training, I'd go to his office, talk, Jimmy, how you doing? I don't know. What have you heard? I was like, no. I'm just asking. How you doing? It was really interesting. Listen, this game has got some interesting people. And it runs an age from 21-year-old guy showing up who doesn't know his ass from his elbow to the 70-something-year-old guy who's seen everything.
Well, and if you ever watch this man give signs at third base, he does it. You better be in full lockdown mode on him when he gives signs, because he is not messing around. He does not want people picking up his signs, and that kind of points back to your paranoia thing. But, man, he would run through those things so fast. I can't tell you how many times I gave him the, can you do that over again?
What was a penalty bat, like penalty? I don't know. You didn't run laps. You didn't run stadiums. But what would happen if you missed?
Oh, it was probably $5 or $10 in kangaroo court. That was back when you can't do kangaroo court anymore. People will get their little feelings hurt and not ever come back to play again.
who in your career back when, and if, for people who don't know kangaroo court, it still goes on a fantasy camp, because in fantasy camp you can do it probably more so than in big
but
league.
You got a bunch of old school guys down there in fantasy camp, basically, you know, coaching older guys who can dish it out and take it.
And when you're a fantasy camper, to get finding kangaroo court is like a badge of honor.
Oh, it's a badge of honor. Heck
no
yeah.
No doubt.
100%.
No doubt.
Yeah, that's how you teach these guys how to play.
Who ran it over the years in your time?
Sid.
Yeah.
Who's running it now in fantasy camp? Sid, right when I first got called up.
Smoltzy
was kind of the linchpin there right around, I would say, early 2000s.
Okay.
You know, normally it goes to the longest tenured guy, either that or the most respected, you know, guy in the clubhouse. It would have been like Terry Pendleton back in the day.
But when did it end? Like, did it just go away?
That was probably on my watch.
Yeah, huh?
It was probably on my watch.
Did you get an opportunity
to
bang the gavel?
I banged the gavel a few times, but, you know, right there at the end of my career, I was so outnumbered. You know, that was the baby Braves, and, you know, I mean, Brian McCann was making fun of me because I was still wearing the Ronnie Gant pants, you know, that were skin tight. He finally got me on the baggy, you know, bell-bottom pants that kind of, you know, draped
over. By the way, when you look back at that look, is there a little part of you that regrets that you didn't hold to your guns on that and say, I'm going out this
week? No, they were right.
Okay.
They were right.
All right.
They were right. And that's the only reason I gave in because, you know, as I got older, you began to see less and less of the nice butt and the nice legs and more of the gut, you know?
Yeah, listen, it happens.
It happens, you know? So it's better when you got kind of that skinny fat going to be wear a little baggy stuff.
I just looked at something. We're going to play some sound. It's 30 years. It's sound of you in Richmond. I'm not saying it was the first time you ever had a camera in front of you. Mm-hmm. And we all change in 30 years. I forgot how you look 6'6".
Yeah.
Because you're thin.
Thin. Yeah.
Like thin, and it's baby face.
Yeah,
I mean, it almost looks like they drove the bowls.
Yeah,
put you in Richmond and said, "Hey, let's do an interview with this kid."
My wife now, Taylor. She looks back, sees some of those, you know, things from the minor leagues or just coming out of high school, and she's like, "Oh my goodness, you were a baby."
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, that was back when I had that 28, 29-inch waist.
And you look 6'6". I'm not kidding. You look 6'6". So let me ask, are you okay with how you're aging?
I would like to lose 10 or 15 pounds. I've been doing some research on how the best way to get it done. I'm 6'3". I'm probably 235 right now. I'd like to get down to 220. My playing weight, you know, when I was at what I think is my best was somewhere right around 220. That's where I felt pretty good. It just doesn't sit the same as it used to. No. You know, I mean, when you were 25 to 30 years old, you know, you look
what you want.
Yes. I mean, everybody asked me, you know, what kind of diet were you on when you played? I was like, I can't tell you how many times I hit a couple of homers with a Big Mac sitting on my gut or a, you know, double quarter pounder. You know, I was a fast food junkie. And unfortunately now at going on, you know, well, I am 50 years old. I'll be 51 in April. It's sitting a lot differently.
Yeah. How much testosterone is in the house? Now, I know it's young kid testosterone.
Yeah.
How much testosterone is in the house these days?
Whenever I am the least excitable in the house, it's pretty bad. I mean, we're going through, you know, kind of a hectic time right now because – you know, we're just getting over Christmas, and my mini me, he just turned 6 last week. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, you know, presents and a lot of stuff going on right now. So it's kind of hectic. Hopefully it'll slow down. But yeah, I mean, the 4 and 6 year old, they go at it constantly. And my 12 year old, he's a pot stirrer, you know, so he tries to mix it up between the two of them.
Has the 4 year old bowed up to the 6 year old yet? Have we had that moment where it's no, not today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one who will blow his top.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Literally.
You know what's happening.
Blow his top, and you can hear it all over the house, and it's a big house. It's a big house.
Speaking, I want to help. Is the Ponderosa still for sale?
It's still for sale. I want to get it out there on the airwaves right now. Anybody who, you know, wants 40 acres up in Canton, it's a really nice place. It's
a couple of houses.
It's got two houses.
It's got a barn.
A live-in barn. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely for the whole family. It's for a big family that likes the outdoors, maybe, you know, has some interest in horses, got a stock pond, it's got deer, it's got, you know, ducks and geese.
Can I work on a 2% if we get it sold before 2 o'clock today? 2%, that's all I want.
I may be able to swing that for
okay,
you.
I got
to
make my paper. I got to make my paper. Thank you. How about this, too? We'll guarantee that there'll not only be keys on the big, and it's a big kitchen countertop, by the way, 2 autographed Chipper Jones baseballs, too.
Boom.
Yeah, let's just.
I can throw some cards in. I throw a couple game-used bats. Anything to get out from under this thing.
Are we allowed to mention the price? I mean, it's out there, right?
It's out there, yeah.
Is it this?
Yeah.
15?
Yeah. Yeah,
let's go. This man needs this place sold by 2 o'clock today. A stocked pond. Where are you getting a stocked pond? You're not getting that in Midtown. I can guarantee you that. Now, you like lake life. Is that sort of the kids? Is that the vibe for you,
well,
family these days?
My wife grew up on Blue Ridge Lake, about an hour north of here. And it's a beautiful place. It's It's a lot less crowded than, say, a Lanier would be. We are up on the northeast side of the lake in a town called Morganton, and we just bought it. We had one closer to Blue Ridge a few years back, but Taylor was, you know, having kids, and we didn't use it enough, so we sold it. Now the kids have been in swim lessons for, you know, the last 2 or 3 years. They swim like fish, and so we decided to go back and do it. The whole reasoning for selling the big place is just, you know, when we moved in, we had 5 or 6 kids. We had a full-time nanny. We were filling it up pretty good.
My mom and dad,
exactly, and a couple of horses. Now we have, you know, 3 kids at the house, no nanny, and it's time to downsize.
Yeah. I want to go back to something, too, about the whole – did you see For Love of the Game, the Cosmo movie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's a scene in there, and I thought – and I've gotten to know him a little bit. We've had him on the show. I thought one of the great little moments in that movie is, because I've seen this. I've seen this with guys who are listening right now who are attorneys, teachers, but I've seen it with athletes. There's a scene where he's standing at his locker with no shirt on, and he goes back, and for the first time, he gives himself a little pinch right around the waist, and he realizes, oh, there's something there. There's something there. And it was a real subtle thing, but I was like, I've seen this. Mm-hmm. And I've seen guys all of a sudden realize, oh, wait. I'm now this.
Father Time's knocking at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it happens to everybody. And I think, I had questions going all the way back to 2010 before I blew out my knee the second time. You know, I mean, that summer, man, I got up to Minneapolis. I was done. I called Bobby up. I was like, I don't want to play anymore. And I almost quit right there in the middle of the season. You know, it happens. Now,
who talks you off the ledge?
Bobby and actually Frank Wren, John Schuerholz, everybody threw me a phone call. But Bobby said, hey, look, we got 2 more days on this road trip. Take them off. Don't even put your spikes on. I'm not putting you in. We got the DH. We're not going to be pinch hitting. Da-da-da-da. Just get away from it. And it kind of gave me some perspective, having talked to some of my teammates and obviously Bobby and Frank Wren, that I didn't want to walk out that way.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously it took I was struggling so badly and
were you pissed off at your body? Like, is that the best way to describe it?
I was pissed off at my game.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't happening. You know, I was struggling with my health. Yeah. I guess you could say I was a little bit frustrated with, but I mean, it was basically me saying, all right, I don't want to go out like this. It's out on the table, and it was kind of a monkey off my back because I had been thinking about it for quite some time, and then lo and behold, I get hot. I start playing good, and unfortunately blew out my knee, I think August 9th or 10th of that year, and wasn't around for, you know, Bobby's last hurrah.
Yeah. Do you remember it was you sent me a picture of your ankle once because was that the Houston one?
I still got that. I still got that picture.
So I will say this. Jeff Blauser at one time, who I wish he was around. It's his business. Yeah. I know Braves fans would love to see him, but it's his. I once saw a bruise that he had from like his hip down to his knee. Mm-hmm. Never said anything publicly. Nobody was dirt digging. If you were in the locker room, you weren't talking about it because he wasn't talking about it. That's fine. The only thing that I've seen that was more full of color, mm-hmm. you had the rainbow working.
Yeah.
Was that the Houston play in foul territory?
No, that's when I blew out my knee.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So Houston's when I blew out my knee. Actually, the one that you're talking about was the skate save and a beauty on Melvin B.J. Upton down in Tampa.
That B.J. Upton.
Yeah. He was facing Tommy Hansen, God rest his soul. He hit a line drive to my left, and I just took a step to my left and started with my glove down and came up, and it stayed down, and it hit me square in the ankle.
Yeah.
And pain-wise, I don't know that I've had anything on the baseball field that literally brought tears to my eyes because, I mean, I blew out my knee twice.
Right.
You know, that wasn't anything compared to this. I played... I got another at bat. I played for another, I think, two innings in the field, and I came off the field, and I go, Freddie, I can't take it anymore. And I took – when I took my – I wore these – for anybody that doesn't know, I wore a white sanitary sock, a real thin sock up to my knee, and then I wore two compression blue socks over my – over my high tops.
Because, by the way, $10 million eyes, 10 cent feet.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I had bad dogs, right? So anyway, you know, they're all balled up, you know, pretty much right there where I got hit. And when I took those things off, this thing blew up like a basketball. It was unbelievable.
Well, I couldn't believe it. You sent that picture and I said, you couldn't even see it was an ankle.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't know it was an ankle, yeah, because everything was the same size.
And it was so bad that where the ball hit me, I had a baseball-sized blister on just above my ankle. Yeah. And it apparently, once it got fluid in there, no matter what we did, we couldn't get it out. And I didn't go on the DL for, I think if you'll remember, probably 5 or 6 days. And I would just come off the bench and pinch hit, and then they would pinch run for me because I couldn't run, you know. And finally, I go, We're not getting the fluid out of here, and they sent me back to Atlanta from, I think, Cincinnati, and they lanced it. Right. And Dr. Royster said they had like 44 cc's of fluid that came out of my
ankle.
Which
is why you couldn't even tell it was an ankle.
Yeah.
It was probably bigger than your calf at that point, too. All right, Chipper Jones is with us. Pat Forte is going to join us next. I know you're a big college football fan. Pat is a big part of the Georgia specials. You guys had a special Sports Illustrated when you won a title.
Yep,
they do that commemorative issue. They have the Georgia issue out. Pat's going to come on and join us in a few seconds. But first, bongos, and bongos mean headlines. And if we hit that button, Chipper Jones is going to be with us all day today. Might have a special guest or two over the course of the show. On top of that, I found something out, too. You were on TMZ once. Do you remember even getting chased by TMZ?
Well, let me guess, in New York? I forget what they asked me.
I think I have it someplace. Oh, they asked about Bonds.
Okay.
Hall of Fame.
Okay.
You had a very fancy jacket on. I don't know what you were doing.
I was probably promoting the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they asked you about Bonds, and you signed some autographs, and we'll get into it.
Skated around it.
Yeah, skated around it. Yeah, by the way, well done.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Appreciate
well done. All right, Chipper Jones is with us. Bongos Mean Headlines brought to you by Extra 106.3. Coming up, Pat Forte will join us. We'll talk some college football. Chipper Jones is here. Hawks and the Knicks tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that. I know Chipper's been to a bunch of Hawk games. There might be an AFC championship game here. And you actually put in a request. We'll find out if you truly meant what you asked when we found out this news. All of that and more. But next, we'll talk some college football. Chipper Jones and Pat Forte right here on 680 The Fan.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Welcome back. back in. 11:30. Chipper Jones, co-hosting today. Nick Cellini taking care of the family, not the family business. That sounds like he's taking care of family business. Everybody knows what the family is when your last name is Cellini.
Somebody needs to give him the business.
Every once in a while.
You know what's not going to happen today? You're not going to get stepped on as much as you do whenever Cellini's here.
And I'm going to hopefully not step all over you. We're going to play a little Ask Chipper over the course of the show. We'll take phone calls later on, but I asked on Twitter last night. People are very fascinated by this one because there's a couple of different variations of this. First one, on a scale of 1 to 10, how disgusting was Greg Maddux?
14.
14. Yeah. That's a good number. I agree with that. But people are very, very, was there anyone you just wanted to punch out? Here's another variation of that. Was there anybody who was a big enough jerk where you did go after them? I mean, is there anybody that comes to mind?
The only person, oddly enough, and we're unbelievably close right now, the only person that I ever fronted probably in my career was Andrew. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I went nose to nose with him in Colorado in the dugout right before a game. But I just, you know, Andrew has grown up a lot.
19, 20, 21-year-old
yes,
Andrew?
Yes, okay. Yes. And, I mean, like, I almost saw Terry Pendleton kill him on a plane one time. We had to hold Terry back. And he was lippy and just kind of condescending, and I had enough at one point, and I go, I don't care who's watching, let's go.
Was right, this a right now dugout thing pregame?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And there's a chance they would catch it.
Oh yeah, I would imagine they would see two Jones boys go at it, but nothing ever came of it. And I think, you know, it's like you always tell your kids with the bully on the block.
Yeah.
You know, you front him one time, you pop him in the snot locker one time. And all of a sudden, he respects you and stays away from you and, you know, gives you your space. And I think after that, there was a different kind of relationship between.
That is so funny because nobody pimps for him harder for the Hall of Fame than you.
Right. Well, I mean, I honestly think he's the best center fielder I've ever seen play center field. You throw in 400-plus, you know, homers and 1,400 RBIs. For a 10-year period, he was as good as a guy.
Yeah, you're not pimping a slappy.
No.
And by the way, when you're in the Hall of Fame, you talk about it. You have not only a voice to talk about it, but you also know what the parameters are supposed to be.
I can't tell you how much our relationship has evolved over the last, you know, 15, 20 years.
That's
you
good.
Know, I mean, we sit in a dungeon down there, you know, underneath the stadium and watch games while the Braves are playing. We're just throwing ideas back and forth, you know, going through scenarios. I mean, it's been really a cool kind of transition into retirement.
All right. I know you're a big college football fan. I'm going to ask you how you feel about the University of Georgia Stetson Bennett, but Pat Forty does join us first.
The Fan is the college football voice of the South. So let's go on campus. Presented by Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth or shop online at SubaruofGwinnett.com.
It's a little bit of deja vu because same time last year we had Pat Forty on, who was a contributor to the University of Georgia National Championship commemorative Sports Illustrated. Braves have one. You win something. Sports Illustrated says, here we go. 70-plus pages on this one. And Pat, again, has been involved. Pat, first of all, if I would have told you last year, hey, let's get together next year, we'll be talking about the second version of the Sports Illustrated commemorative for the University of Georgia, what would you have said?
I definitely would have been surprised. You know, I mean, I thought Georgia was a top three program coming into last season, but I really wasn't sure they could fill the holes that were left on defense and then take this amazing jump that they did offensively. And now you look at Georgia and say, this is the premier program in the country, and move over Nick Saban. Here comes Kirby Smart.
Yeah, you know, David Pollack caught a little bit of side eye when he said that sitting next to Nick Saban. But what's the argument now? Nobody's denouncing Nick Saban's career. The king is dead. Long live the king.
Yeah, right. I agree. I mean, look, nobody in the history of football, not even Bear Bryant, has had a career as good as Nick Saban, in my opinion. But it doesn't go on forever. Nothing lasts forever. We know that. And at some point, you start to slip and somebody else comes along, and it just so happens to be a guy who learned how to build a program, to motivate players, to recruit players, to scheme from Nick Saban. You know, Kirby Smart, at age 47, to have consecutive titles and be at his alma mater, I don't know if there's anywhere he'd like to go unless he wants to try his hand at the NFL. I mean, we could be looking at a really extended run, I think, for Kirby at Georgia.
Well, I'd be hard-pressed to think that we couldn't be doing this again next year as well. But let's address the monkey in the room. What's the transition going to be like at the quarterback position from Stetson Bennett to whoever wins the job next year? I think everybody's assuming it's going to be Beck. What are the odds that we could be sitting here doing this again? And let's talk about Monken possibly going to the NFL. What could this offense look like?
Yeah, I mean, those are the two big questions. And it's just so wild when you think about it. I mean, Stetson's career arc of ignored, doubted, and now like indispensable. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do without Stetson Bennett? You know, it's an amazing story, but it's a legitimate question. I mean, he was really, really good the last 2 years. MVP of four college football playoff games, you know, just huge in big spots. And so, okay, what's the next guy going to be able to do? And they really like Carson Beck, but I'm not sure he would have as much free reign at the line of scrimmage, and especially if you're changing coordinators. That might be the bigger thing. You know, I think if you're going to have a talented quarterback with talented people around him regardless, but what's the scheme like if Todd Monken leaves? Because he really hit his stride too, I think, this last year. He was much more creative, much more freewheeling, much more aggressive. And you take that out of the equation, okay, they may go back to winning a little bit more like older Kirby ball, where it's, you know, you get ahead, you stay ahead, you tuck it in, and you win. But I mean, regardless, they're going to be really, really good. But those are the key areas of questioning, I guess, about what we're going to see.
Yeah, Pat, we don't get much right on this show, but it was a while ago, and I think we had you on when it hit me. I came in and I said, you know, Stetson Bennett can't go to the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, a lot of people have written a national story about that, and how do you get around, and what do you do? And then you and I talked about the Heisman voting, how you got to stop making it a TV show in early December, because with 12 teams especially, there's too much football to be played. How or do you think anything will change on those two subjects? What the criteria are? College football has been around for a long time, so is the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and the Heisman criteria of when they'll actually do the voting.
Yeah, I would say of those two, the Hall of Fame criteria might be more flexible, which isn't to say it's very flexible, but I think they are so wedded with the Heisman in that second week of December, after the regular season, after the conference championship games, before the bowl games, before the playoff, unfortunately, as we did discuss, and I think it gets even worse when you have a 12-team playoff and so many big games are going to be played after that Heisman's decided. But, boy, that is an entrenched deal with a specific institution that likes having it there. ESPN likes the timing of it there. I think it would be much better to wait and get all the information before making a vote, but I have a hard time seeing them moving off of that.
Chipper's here, but as a Florida fan, Chipper, did you think Pat was talking about, hey, you know, life, like everything else, college football, we got our ups, we got our downs. When they were going at their best, did you think they'd hit a bump and then less than that? Because you probably knew it could happen, but it feels good when it's great.
I think you're always going to have a rough transition when you're talking about moving on from a guy like Tim Tebow, who's arguably maybe the top college player of all time. There's going to be a step down at that position, and that's why I was saying from a Stetson Bennett standpoint, he doesn't get enough credit for not only running the offense that Todd Monken is throwing out there. He is an underrated athlete. Like, whenever he breaks the line of scrimmage, more times than not, it's a big play. And he's got that little bit of wiggle that most people don't see that doesn't allow him to get hit or run away from somebody. And I'm just wondering if the transition to the next guy, is there another guy on this roster that could give them that extra element that maybe a pure pocket passer, you know, wouldn't be able to do?
Yeah, that's a great point, just because that was one of those X factors that Stetson was able to display that really did kind of take him over the top. He was a good runner. He was elusive. You know, he could read defenses and say, okay, here's going to be a chance. They're blitzing here. I'm going to evade and scramble. We saw those plays. We saw him certainly in the championship game and well before that. He was a good baseball player in high school. He's a good athlete, period. I'm not sure Georgia has a guy, Carson Beck or otherwise, Brock Vandegrift, whoever it may be, who has that element. So that's another reason why the offense could look a little bit different. And quite frankly, in today's college football, you want to have a quarterback who has that ability, whether it's a cold run or a zone read or just the ability to improvise out of a passing play doesn't work. It's an important part of the game. So, you know, I would imagine, you know, Georgia will tailor its offense to what it has, but that's going to be something that might not be quite as in evidence as they've had it the last couple of years.
Who takes the scout team reps whenever they're playing a multifaceted quarterback?
Good question. You know, I mean, they need somebody to be able to do that, and they've had them in the past. I mean, you know, they had people that they could plug in, like Max Duggan from Michigan has that ability. From TCU had that ability, and they were able to replicate him to a degree. Even if you're pulling, even if he's not a quarterback, if you want somebody who a defensive back or a wide receiver to be able to, you know, run some of those plays, they can do that. I mean, Georgia has 19 of everything, right? It's not like they're hurting for options when it comes to either fielding a team or preparing for the next team.
Yeah, I don't want to age you, but it might. When you go into facilities now and you see what a weight room looks like, what a training room looks like, what a locker room looks like, I'm not saying that you were covering this sport when it was a nail and you put your pants on there, but there probably weren't a whole bunch of dumbbells and things when you first started covering a game, unless you were at one of those unique programs, right?
Oh, it's completely different. It would be good to hear Chipper's perspective on that from when he was coming up in baseball. I don't know what versus what's available now, but yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, in the 90s when it was just a big deal if football had their own weight room and it was, you know, a couple of bench racks and a squat rack and stuff like that. And, you know, you have a few more things, but now it's just, it's night and day difference. And Georgia is one of those places when they got Kirby, and part of getting Kirby was we're going to invest all the way. We're building everything. We are adding all the staff. You know, we're going to have as much as anyone in the country. You walk through Georgia's facility now and you're like, okay, it all makes sense. I mean, not just the stuff, but then you look at the bodies that are working with the stuff and it's like, holy moly, they've just got it all. I was there, you know, in last June working on a big Stetson story and just looking at the guys walking around, you're like, I'm not sure anybody else has this collection of just the physical specimens and all the equipment and everything else to maximize them.
God's honest truth. Jim Donnan used to come on, and there was a day where I don't know if he was crying in a bad mood or whatever. He said, I can't get whey protein. He was like, I got to go do a bake sale to get some whey protein for this. And I don't know how true it actually was, but I'm telling you, he did it into a live telephone microphone to let the world know that he didn't have enough protein at the University of Georgia.
Yeah, I can believe it. I mean, there was a time when Georgia was behind in those areas, and that's when they said, okay, we're not just going to catch up, we're going to go ahead. They vaulted all the way, you know, to the absolute top of the line and all those things.
We were talking, Kirby Smart and Chipper, you know this with like Bobby Cox, who was offered jobs after he retired, but there's not another college job. It's not even the Alabama job. That's the greatest news of all. I don't even know how many schools you could say that about with their head coach. How many guys are not looking for the one that's better? At 47 years old, you don't sit in that place very often in this game.
No, he has his dream job. That's the thing, you know? I mean, even like Nick Saban found the right place and was happy there and stayed there, and it's been perfect, you know? But there we go. Hey, he talked to Texas. He maybe dabbled again with going back to the NFL. You know, I don't see Kirby Smart doing that unless, again, he decides he wants to take a stab at the NFL if this somehow becomes boring to him. But I talked to somebody else in the SEC. They had a great expression for it. I brought up, you know, do you see Kirby ever getting bored? I said, no. Kirby's the kind of guy that likes to burn ants with a magnifying glass. Like, if he gets up on you, he's going to keep staying up on you, and he's not going to get tired of beating the crap out of you. So I don't anticipate, you know, I mean, you never say never, but I mean, it could be 15, 20 more years of Kirby Smart in a dominant position.
It's so funny. We're talking about Stetson. Chipper Jones, an overall 1-1 expectation. You go buy the Corvette. People plunk you in the ribs because you got the Corvette at 19 years old. Stetson's the other end of that. Have you talked to anybody in and around the NFL? Because the big debate around here was, could he hold a clipboard? Will he get drafted? I don't know how much of those conversations actually happen with you, or if you've sought out those conversations. Do you have any best guesstimate as to how it might play for him?
Before I get to that, just a quick swerve to Chipper Jones 1-1. I did a story on Mick Cronin and his dad, Hep Cronin, who was a major league scout a couple of years ago. And he said, like, there was the first guy that he locked in on who was an absolute can't miss. And he kept going to his games and going back to his game to the point where he was friends with the ticket taker, was Chipper Jones. So Hep awesome. Cronin is taking credit for that. I don't awesome. Know whether it's true or not.
I remember seeing him around quite a bit through the years.
Now, how old was he then, Chipper?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Older, though. Yeah. He had seen it, as we say.
Yeah, he had seen it. But anyway, to your point about Stetson, yeah, I've talked to NFL scouts, and they really think that he will have a place in the league. Now, it may be carry the clipboard. It may be you're a backup, and you got to be tailored to a place that fits who you are in terms of size and what you do and all that sort of thing. But there are places like that. I had some people – you know, mention a Chase Daniel kind of role, some other people, a Cooper Rush. But then, you know, if you've got a mobile quarterback, maybe an undersized quarterback, and you want to be able to keep the same offense when that guy gets hurt, well, there's Stetson Bennett. The things he's got going for him, obviously, super smart, incredibly confident. He's going to be able to grasp everything you're going to throw at him. Then the question, obviously, physical tools. And one NFL guy brought this up. They said they're not sure he's, you know, that he's would be the kind of guy to just be happy to be a third stringer. That after a couple of years, he might get bored and say, like, you know what, I'm just going to open my own Chevy dealership, you know, and make a gazillion dollars being Stetson Bennett in Georgia. But either way, they all said he will get drafted, probably later rounds, and he will have a chance to stick.
You have seven first-time starters in the playoffs in the NFL this year.
Yep.
You cannot tell me that with his ability to run, he can make all the throws. Like you said, he's smart. He's going to grasp everybody's offense. You cannot sit here and definitively look me in the face and tell me that he couldn't be next year's Brock Purdy for some team. Okay? Like, that's the kind of praise I'm willing to lap on this guy because – you know, everybody knows my allegiances, my roots to Florida. I'm less of a Florida fan now because I'm a little bit of a front runner and I like Coach Kirby, you know? But having watched them every day, I don't believe that there's anything at the next level that Stetson Bennett can't do if he's given the right opportunity.
Well, I agree. I mean, that's the, and you point out Brock Purdy. He's the one I saw Brock Purdy play plenty in college and I was like, but, you know, you get in the right place, you get the right opportunity, and things can happen. So I would never discount it.
All right.
And again, he brings every intangible and plenty of tangibles, too, to the table. You know, so I think he would be there will be, unfortunately, like every morning TV talk show from now until the draft is going to be debating Stetson Bennett and his pro day and his measurements and this and that, you know, his knee size and his calf size, but he's going to be that guy. There's going to be a lot of debate and a lot of scrutiny on him going into the draft.
All right, let's finish up with this. I was wrong about Mark Emmert because I had hopes. I had gotten to know him a little bit, talked to him, and I thought it was going to be, I don't want to get into the whole debate. I'm not looking for the long sort of play on the NCAA. Will the NCAA have any play going forward and the in-charge part of it, will it be better than what we've had?
Well, I think the in-charge part of it can't be worse, so there's hope that it could be better. I met with Charlie Baker, who's the incoming president, former governor of Massachusetts, last week at the NCAA convention. He's obviously super sharp. He's very much a politician. They want a politician right now because they've got to try to dig out of a lot of legislative holes at the moment. You know, as for the future of the whole association, I don't know. I mean, again, that look, it has lost a lot of clout, has lost a lot of relevance, but I still don't see it disappearing completely. Somebody's got to put on championships, and they do a good job of that. Wow. Somebody's got to be the cops, and they do a bad job of that, but still, I don't think anybody cares whether they do a good job or bad job. The conferences just don't want to do it themselves. Let Indy do it. Let Indy be bad. Let everybody, you know, pound on Indy for being bad at it. It's not us. It's not our problem. So, you know, I think there will be a place for the NCAA. I think it just will continue to probably shrink in terms of its impact.
All right, Pat, how will the Georgia second version of the commemorative edition sell? I'm assuming it's a pretty hot item for Georgia fans who want to get their hands on stuff like this.
I think so. And yeah, you can find it at SI.com. And, you know, you can order there, get it shipped to you, hopefully quickly. A lot of, you know, great information, stories on the season and the players involved and the coaches and everything else and just the how the program was built. You know, a ton of information there. So, yeah, SI.com and look for the Georgia Bulldogs National Championship commemorative. Should be able to find it.
All right, Pat, listen, thanks very much. Always enjoy when you come on.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
All right, there he is, Pat Forte. We'll take a quick break. The 11 o'clock hour is driven to you by Hayes Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealerships in Lawrenceville and Gainesville, where customers are treated like family. Start your winning drive at HayesAtlanta.com. When we come back, Chipper Jones, I got a question. Joe Namath has spoken, and I'm going to throw this at you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a very similar question. No. We're all good. Joe's good. Okay, Joe's okay. Good today. I'm not squeezing him in a corner and then trying to put you in it.
Okay.
But it is an interesting thing that Joe Namath just said yesterday. I'm going to ask you about it when we come back right here on 680 The Fan.
Hey, everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Welcome back in. 11:57. Chipper Jones is sitting in. He'll be here at 2 o'clock. We're going to talk NFL playoffs. Do you know who you like this weekend? I think I know who you're rooting for. For the AFC side of things, to maybe get a little hometown stuff.
There's a difference in who I'm rooting for and who I think is going to win.
Okay.
Obviously, I have some selfish reasons. You know, I would love to see a championship game here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, obviously.
Would you really go?
I want to go. Okay. Yeah, because these are two teams that we don't get to see very often, right. You know. And obviously, you've got two kind of... I'll say a generational quarterbacks.
No,
you know, I mean, you got two guys that can really play the position. And I would like to see how that looks firsthand.
Please take this as a compliment. I also think you'd fit in with Buffalo Bill fans. Like, I really mean that. Right. Like, I think I think
well, you know
get
how
kick
me,
out
and,
of.
me and New Yorkers, we vibe real well.
Real well.
Yeah, real
yeah.
Well.
Well, that's Buffalo's not really New York, though, if you really think about it. Everybody in New York kind of claims Brooklyn's their own country, Staten Island's their own country. All right. Buffalo, because... success here means, hey, we can stake.
Well, see, I just see Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
They did see that's how us, you know, Southerners think.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's all one place.
It's all one place.
Yeah, yeah. We will also talk about Dansby Swanson. We'll talk some Braves coming up in a little bit as well. I want to ask you, left field DH, you have a little bit of experience because Devon Grissom, is there a possibility of thinking about him playing left field? Defensively, can he handle it? you'd be the right one to ask. We will get into all that if we have to take care of this.
Hey, everybody. Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.